www.amvac.com.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A shifting message from former President Trump. He touted early voting during a campaign event in Florida.
Polls are looking great, and I think maybe more important than even the polls are the initial numbers are looking incredible.
Referring to early voting, it's not clear who early voters are supporting, but registered Republicans are outnumbering Democrats in Arizona and Nevada. Democrats have returned more than twice as many mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania. There are no campaign events today for Vice President Harris. She is sitting for two TV interviews. Her running mate Tim Walz will campaign in Wisconsin. He'll also make stops with former President Obama. President Biden is not seeking re-election, but touting his administration today. He'll be in New Hampshire joining Senator Bernie Sanders to hail reported prescription drug savings, nearly $1 billion for almost 1.5 million Medicare enrollees. Honda's recalling more than 700,000 vehicles because of a high fuel pressure pump problem. This is ABC News. One airline is saying enough to passengers who are cutting in line.
They're so despised, some airport employees call them gate lice, the people who crowd around before the plane boards, trying to sneak on before their group is called. Now, American Airlines tells the Washington Post it's testing new technology at airports in Albuquerque and Tucson that would alert gate agents with an audible noise when a passenger tries to cut in line. If the project is successful, American will expand it to other airports as well. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Woman in Australia trying to retrieve a phone that fell between some big rocks wound up getting herself stuck for about 7 hours. She had tried to slither down between some boulders but got trapped and was hanging by her feet for an hour before help arrived. Then it took another 6 hours for rescue teams to figure out how to shift the boulders to get her free and guide her out. She was not hurt, but she did not find her phone. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Okay, everyone, what did you think of the chocolate bar?
It's too chewy.
It feels kind of chalky.
Too much nougat.
I need to go brush my teeth.
Business is booming for Steph's small marketing research firm.
After all these focus groups, there's only one conclusion. I need more researchers.
And she's way too busy researching.
Does this have peanuts?
To waste time researching resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine your team always looking and feeling their best in high-performance technical workwear. Cintas can make it happen. They have garments for almost every job imaginable. And with the Cintas Workwear program, you get freshly laundered garments delivered every week for everyone on your team. Great garments without the bother of laundry. That's a real perk for employees. Find out how Cintas can boost team image and morale. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. Early in-person voting starts across Wisconsin today. The state Republican Party is urging voters to take advantage. Party Chair Brian Schimming says when he took over, he wanted to try different things, including early voting.
Because I think we had spent too many years going into Election Day, 100,000 votes down, and trying to make it up in 13 hours. And so I committed when I became chair, we're not going to do that. And if that means using every available tool on the books.
Schimming says the Wisconsin Republican Party was the first state party in the country to endorse early voting. Former President Barack Obama campaigns in Madison this afternoon on behalf of Democratic presidential candidate Vice President Kamala Harris. Obama will be joined by Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Over the weekend in Las Vegas, Obama criticized former President Donald Trump's record on the economy.
I handed over to Donald Trump 75 straight months of job growth. And all he did with it was give a tax cut to the people who didn't need it, drove up the deficit in the process, and now he wants to do it all over again.
Following the Madison rally, Walz has a campaign event scheduled in Racine. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services wants to prevent childhood lead poisoning.
It's National Lead Poisoning Prevention Week, and DHS is highlighting methods to prevent and detect childhood lead exposure. Earlier this year, DHS issued updated lead testing recommendations calling for all children to be tested for exposure at ages 1 and 2. Children between 3 and 5 years old who have not been previously tested should also undergo screening for lead poisoning. Over the past decade, nearly 27,000 Wisconsin children under the age of 6 have been poisoned by lead. Visit the DHS website for more information. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time, lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com. Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Still unusually warm today with highs reaching those mid-70s. With the drought conditions and wind still whipping up a fire danger. Good news is we have chances for showers moving in this evening. But after midnight, winds shift out of the north and blast us. This will suppress our highs tomorrow to just the mid-50s. But it'll be sunny. Check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Currently, it's 65.
It was a generally positive day in the commodity world. The energy prices were higher, grains higher, livestock futures higher. Unfortunately, the softs, including cotton and milk futures, traded to the downside. And would you look at that? There was another daily sales announcement for corn.
Live with a pervasive feeling of general positivity via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with the commodity cowpoke, Carl Setzer from Consus Ag Consulting. Directly following the news, Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, good vibes, man. Good vibes after the way that the grains and livestock traded today, right?
Yes, lots and lots of good vibes. Lots of good vibes. That. The sun is shining, you know, harvest is humming right along. You know, it's great. Everything's great.
We got a little rain to freshen things up a bit. That was nice. Yeah. That was nice. And hopefully to clean things up. I had to make a trip into town yesterday afternoon, and I got a little bit of gravel to drive, and it was just dirty. Everything was dirty. A little rain to clean things up is definitely needed. No doubt. All right. We got Carl Setzer on the show today.
Yeah, we do.
We need to talk about harvest progress. We're going to do that with Matt Bennett, too, see how he's doing with this year's harvest and trying to keep track of what's going on with the markets and everything. We'll check in with Matt. And then in the next segment, we'll get Carl in here and talk about the harvest reports, what those reports might be indicating as far as what USDA is going to do with its national average corn and soybean yields going forward. We got to talk about this demand surge that is continuing. We just got a lot of ground to cover today, man.
There's a lot to get to. Lots to get to. Absolutely.
There really is. There really is. Mm-hmm. What do you say we go ahead and get started with the news?
Well, I'm going to start us with December soft red winter wheat futures, which opened higher, fell through yesterday's low, and to test support at the September 19 low of 564 before bouncing to close high range and above the opening range. USDA says 73% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was seeded as of October 20. That's 3 points behind the five-year average. This week's rains in the central and southern plains brought some much-needed moisture. Prices today were higher on support from gains in corn and soybeans and on speculation next year's Russian wheat crop will be down slightly from this year. December HRW wheat futures 4 1/4 cents higher at 586 1/2. December soft red wheat up 3 3/4 cents to 576. December spring wheat closed at 616 1/2. That's up 2 1/2 cents on the day, Chip.
Positive price action in the SRW market today. Well, and the HRW and spring wheat markets too. Maybe not as positive as what we saw in corn and soybeans, but still, it was a good day of trade in that wheat complex.
Well, Chip, corn harvest as of October 20 advanced to 65% complete. That's 13 points ahead of the five-year average. The quick harvest has been met with increased demand. USDA this morning announced the sale of 359,500 metric tons of U.S. corn for delivery to Mexico in the current marketing year. A slowdown in harvest season hedging and increase in demand lifted corn prices, but improved growing conditions in Argentina capped the price advance. December corn opened slightly lower and recovered to close high range and above last week's high. That opens upside potential to the October 10 high of 424 in December corn. December corn futures today 7 cents higher, 416 1/2. March corn up 6 cents, 429 1/4. July corn futures closed at 440 3/4. Chip, that's up 6 cents today.
Yeah, the export sales, it feels like we've accumulated enough of these daily export sales and strong weekly export sales summaries when we get them on Thursday mornings, that the corn market is starting to respond to this demand. We'll talk to Carl about it coming up here in just a bit.
Well, USDA reports 81% of the U.S. soybean crop was harvested as of October 20, 14 points ahead of the five-year average. Soybean oil futures were sharply higher today on spillover support from gains in crude oil futures and by reports that Indonesian officials will move forward with plans to implement a B40 fuel mandate that will remove more palm oil from the global veg oil market. The price advance was roadblocked by improved soil moisture conditions in Brazil's center-west, center-south, and northeastern production areas. November bean futures have recovered most of last week's losses in just the first 2 days of this week, Chip. November beans today, 10 3/4 higher at 9.91 3/4. January beans gained 10 3/4 cents to $10.5. March beans closed at 10.12 1/2. That's up 10 1/2 cents, Chip.
Okay, December soybean meal today, down 60 cents a ton. December bean oil today, up 130 points. So Indonesia going forward with the plans for B40, and they emphasized that longer term, they want to get to bio-based diesel at a 50% blend. So that's palm oil coming off the global market.
Well, December cotton today was 12 points lower, 72.08. On your livestock's heavyweight choice, graded boxed beef jumped $1.24 this morning with select graded boxes down $2.60 on solid movement of 81 loads. Live cattle followed the choice market higher with December live cattle up $1.30 to 188.12 1/2. November feeder futures were $2.32 1/2 cents higher but 248.92 1/2. And on the snout side, these hogs gapped higher, fell back to close the gap, and then recovered to close high range and above the opening range. Yeah. December hogs today, 85 cents higher at 79.12 1/2. The February contract, 55 cents higher, 82.80. Chip?
Yeah, hogs there for just a little bit looked like they were going to give it up. You know, they fell back and filled that gap, and it was like, oh, geez, here we go to the downside. Turned right around and got that high range close. It was a good day in lean hogs. Matt Bennett, agmarket.net, joins us right now. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Doing real good. What's your progress? What's the status?
Oh, we are about done. So we should be done in the next, I don't know, maybe today, to be honest with you. We've had a couple, three setbacks. You know, and whenever you don't get any rain for 3 or 4 weeks, you know, stuff wears out sometimes. I mean, we run pretty strong maintenance every day, but we've just had a couple of things that have set us back for an afternoon here and there. And I tell you what, there's several guys in our part of the world getting done. It's pretty impressive what we've seen happen. We really need that shower you got, though. I'll tell you what, guys don't even want to work ground right now.
Right, right. It was just north of you. And, hey, man, we need a whole lot more to make it fit for working for sure. ground up here. It's it is dry and hard and not all that great. So how do you feel that this corn and bean market has done absorbing this quick harvest?
It's incredible, Chip. I mean, not only the rally, but the bull spread action that we've seen in corn, you know, whenever you're raising such a massive crop, you know, it's been very impressive to see. Last year, we saw similar action with the spreads into around that November WASD, and then the spreads just pretty much fell apart. I'm not so sure we don't look at something like that again this year. But, you know, if I'm a producer sitting here, I've got to be pretty happy that we wiped out last week's losses in the corn market just in these first 2 days. There's a lot of overrun bushels out there, you know, and people a little bit hesitant on paying commercial storage. And I certainly understand that. So I do think a person needs to pay attention to what's going on in this market here with the kind of rally we've seen.
Do you pay the storage? Real quick, do you pay that commercial storage?
If I do, I don't do it on a large percentage personally, especially when you're taking the extra shrink and everything else.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. That gives me and Carl something to talk about right there, too. Matt, good stuff, right, man. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah. Yep. See ya.
All right. Matt Bennett, agmarket.net. Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting is up next.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations, so great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
You took the first step and quit smoking. But even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. And like Matt said, here we are. It's Tuesday afternoon. And we've erased last week's losses, corn, most of the losses in beans. It's been a pretty good couple of days here in the grain trade. Let's talk about it right now with Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Carl, how you doing, buddy? It's good to talk to you.
Doing great, Chip. How are you guys?
Doing real fine. How's the weather over your way?
It's a splendid day today. A little sunshine, breezy, getting in the upper 70s here now. A perfect fall day, but boy, the wind's starting to pick up, and as dry as we are, that is starting to cause the same concern out here that everybody else is having.
Yeah, well, mid-70s, October 22nd in Michigan doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, dude.
No. It's been pretty much an open harvest. I mean, we got guys getting done up here already, and that's unheard of for this neck of the woods.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked about it a little bit with Matt, but I want to get your take on it, too. What do you make of the way that the corn and soybean markets have been able to absorb this really, really fast harvest?
Well, I think it verifies this demand that we've been waiting to see, and it just took a bit to build this year. And, you know, we looked at what China had for coverage, what Mexico had for coverage, what they were looking at getting out. And you know, even with China, I mean, they have very little soybean coverage from now through the, you know, until the next South American crop comes. And really, yeah, that's what it's become in the market, Chip. It's not a calendar. It's how long until the next crop comes and where is it coming from. That's your marketing window. And that's really what's helping corn right now. Brazil shut their export program down a little bit early. Boy, we're sitting in the driver's seat on both of them, really.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're already into one of the reasons that I wanted to get you back on and talk about what's happening in the markets and on the demand side in particular, because the last time that you were on, Carl, I was asking you about where the heck is China? Why aren't they showing up? And you said, you know what? They're not here yet, but they're coming. I said, corn or beans? Maybe both. So far, they're here on beans. Yeah, it's a great call on the beans. What does it continue on the beans, or have they done about everything that they need?
First of all, Chip, on beans, they got quite a bit of beans to buy at. Last, you look at what they've bought, and it's a moving target. But, you know, until when we look at that next South American crop, we got a good, I'd say easy, a good probably 15 million metric tons to sell into the China yet from what they typically need. So we have good demand going there. And Chip, I want to point something out though. And me and my colleague in the office here talked about this.
Okay.
It's funny when there's a soybean sale to an unknown, bam, it's China. When there's a corn sale to an unknown, there is no way that could be China.
Right.
So my question is, how do we know this? There's been a lot of unknown demand here lately. We can't rule out that China's not in taking corn and having it listed as an unknown.
I'm with you. I am with you. And Davis and I talk about that from time to time when we get that unknown sale on beans. You know, I'll say, yeah, well, the assumption is that it's China on this, but we can't rule out, you know, like Rotterdam or that, you know, any number of buyers. But when it is a corn sale to unknown, my comment is usually, you know, you can't rule out that that's China. And
it's true, you can't. And,
yeah,
you know, and I mean, I do think China's in, you know, I think they've picked up a little more than what, you know, they're showing up every week in the listing. It's just not huge volume.
Yeah. Right. So they've got a long ways to go. Is it a case of if they're going to get bought what they need to get bought on beans in particular, that they just simply have to come to the U.S. right now?
You know, right now, I mean, the thing with South America that we have coming up is let's face it, they're the other source. And look at them logistics issues in Brazil. They can't get the soybeans to the ports. I mean, the Amazon's sitting at the, you know, the draft restrictions, and it's just put their price up, you know, ridiculously high. Yeah, if you look at the sales listings, you know, in the last week, China has bought right around 100 cargoes of soybeans, split them right down the middle, half old crop, half new crop, the old crop with the United States, new crop with Brazil. And I mean, that's about the best way I think I can explain that, Chip.
Okay. All right. So has the bean market accounted for this bean demand yet, or is November beans under $10 not making much sense?
Personally, I think we're a little bit undervalued there. I think we do have more potential in our soybeans due to the fact that, you know, we are the main player in the global market right now. The uncertainty is, you know, you look at China's economy and, you know, now we're starting to hear that their meal supplies are building a little bit. You look at the few other factors there and all of a sudden you're like, you know, yeah, China needs to buy more, but at what value? And, you know, I mean, we've got good demand going now. The last thing you want to see is a rally that kills it. And right. Sooner or later, you know, the buyers that need their coverage are going to get it. And that's when, you know, I don't want to see us rally to the point that we choke them off early. So my point is, I do think we can see, you know, I think we got upside potential in soybeans. You know, are we going to see beans in the teens? No, I don't see that happening at all. You know, with what we have now, but boy, the path of least resistance is upward right now.
Okay, so if you look at the balance sheets on corn and soybeans, has bean demand been good enough that we need to see an upside adjustment on USDA's export estimate? And the same question on corn.
I think we have to get a touch further into the marketing year, Chip. I think we're, you know, I mean, to see them ratcheted up at this time, I don't think we'll see that, because I think the USDA will, and this is my opinion, they will wait until we get a little to the end of harvest and see what the yield is, and then if we have to adjust demand to match yield.
Yep. Well, you know what I'm trying to do here, Carl. I'm trying to whittle away at that 550 bean carryover is what I'm trying to do, and I don't know if we can do that at this point.
That's a pretty lofty carryout. That's a very lofty carryout, and I get that, Chip. I want to see not necessarily the carryout. Our carryout can stay where we're at, but we could see our stocks to you shrink a little bit.
Right.
And I think, don't be surprised. I mean, I could see that happening because, you know, we got a little bit of residual usage we can chip off there if we need to. I think our carryout does stay a little bit higher for that 24-25 marketing program. It's going to be after that because we know we have a big crop. Regardless of what the actual yield is, we do have a big crop coming out this year.
Right. Okay. Well, production was put at 4.582 billion bushels in the October crop production report on beans. Is it going to reach that? Have you seen any evidence that might pull that back some?
The reports that I'm getting from the fringe areas, Chip, of the two bean pods, some one bean pods, a lot of shatter in these areas where the soybeans were, you know, I mean, you're taking 6 to 8% soybeans out of the field. You know, you're leaving some right off the back of that combine. Yep. I do think that our odds of lowering that soybean yield are a lot greater than cranking it up right now. And we can still come in above last year. I mean, even if we cut that down, just, you know, we shave off a bushel and a half, even just 2 bushels off that soybean crop, we're still larger than last year. It's still a huge crop, mm-hmm. but all of a sudden that 550 carryout is looking a lot more like 400.
Yeah. Yeah.
If your demand holds consistent.
Right. Right. Yeah. You make a good point. There's a difference between biological yield and harvested yield. And I think some guys are finding that out on beans and, you know, the phantom yield loss that some guys have experienced this year and so on. I want to talk about that a little bit more and get your impressions on what you're hearing on this year's corn harvest. Carl Setzer, Kansas Ag Consulting.
AgMarket.net is releasing its upgraded app. The AgMarket.net app with revised MyFarm software is now available on Google Play and the Apple App Store. A desktop version is available through the website. Evaluate multiple profit scenarios, maintain a dashboard of farm marketing operations, and view local cash and futures bids. Track production costs, calculate dynamic break-evens, and record crop sales within multiple farms. Download it today at AgMarket.net or call 844-4AG-MRKT to learn more. There's a risk of loss in trading futures under options.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes. For December, hard red winter wheat futures were 4¼ cents higher at 586.5. December soft red wheat up 3¾ cents to 576. December corn futures were 7 cents higher at 416.5. March corn up 6 cents, 429.25. November soybean futures were 10¾ cents higher at 991¾. January beans gained 10¾ cents to $10.5. December cotton today, 12 points lower, 72.08. On your livestocks, let's see, December live cattle up $1.30 to 188.12.5. November feeder futures, $2.32.5 higher, but 248.92.5. And December lean hogs, 85 cents higher, 79.12.5. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267. For your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Still unusually warm today with highs reaching those mid-70s. With the drought conditions and wind still whipping up a fire danger. Good news is we have chances for showers moving in this evening. But after midnight, winds shift out of the north and blast us. This will suppress our highs tomorrow to just the mid-50s. But it'll be sunny. Check out Alexandria, Minnesota. ExploreAlex.com. Currently, it's 65.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon and for the conversation with Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Carl, talk to me a little bit more about what you're hearing on corn yields. And the, you know, early on, it felt like it was every bit as good as what USDA was predicting. I don't know if I ended the season with that attitude or not. What's your thoughts?
Right with that, Chip. We started out, I mean, in Michigan out here looking, I mean, it was going to be probably what we would have considered to be, you know, another record crop, another huge crop out here. And, you know, taking out the wet year of 19, it's probably going to be one of the smaller ones of the last 4 to 5 years. We've lost some yield. We lost a fair amount of yield. And, you know, I mean, it's a good year. It's a good crop. It's going to be, this is what I'm hearing from every producer I've talked to, Chip, from the Ohio Valley to out to Kansas to Nebraska and from north to south, is it's a good crop, but it isn't a great crop.
Right.
That is what we're being told. Ask, is it as good as last year? Yeah. Well, last year is 6.5 bushels less than this year on yield. So, I mean, there's a big difference between what USDA has printed and what we're hearing from the farmers. One of the big things is, you know, this low moisture on corn.
Yep.
You know, guys, 12 to 14% out of the field. You lose moisture like that. You lose bushels. And like you ended there, Chip, these phantom bushels, I'm not hearing anything about those this year. I think they've checked out. But the other thing is there is a lot of fines in this year's crop because it was so dry. This might be a bit of a difficult crop to store this year, Chip.
Okay. Well, we need to keep an eye on that. It's going to go in the bin dry, but the fines don't help. And either do, you know, broken kernels and splits and all that kind of stuff. None of it helps when you're trying to store corn and soybeans. So on this corn yield, Is this something that you think will show up in a crop production report? Are we going to have to wait until we get at least one, maybe two quarterly grain stocks reports before we really start to zero in on what that supply is?
I would like to think it would. I would like to think it would show up in the supply and demand report, in a production report, before we get to our next quarterly stocks report. But I do feel as fast as harvest is taking place, we should, if we don't see it in the WASDE before it, we should start to see it, you know, I would think in that, you know, probably maybe as soon as that January stocks report, Chip.
Okay. Yeah. It's just something that's going to be a little tough to get a handle on, I think. And once all the scale tickets are in and once they've run the final whole farm, every acre in, calculation on exactly what the yield is, that's when we might get a better handle. So it might take until the January annual production summary. I don't know,
but Chip,
I feel like there's got to be an adjustment.
I do, and I, you know, I think this, you know, I talked to one of my, you know, an old colleague from out in my old stomping grounds up in northwest Iowa up there, and you know what they've went through this year.
Yeah.
This was the exact quote. That northwest corner of Iowa is going to harvest three crops this year, a record crop, an average crop, and a crop that never should have been replanted.
Yeah.
That tells me, when I hear that from, and then I, you know, you hear that, but then, you know, I do a little bit of snooping around, and all of a sudden you hear some of the elevators out there saying, yeah, we didn't fill up on soybeans this year. And I get it. That's not everywhere. But when I start hearing that corner of Iowa, and then it starts to go out a touch from there. And Chip, I'm not saying we're going to come in, we're going to shave 10 bushels off corn and soybean yields. I don't believe that.
Right. Right.
But
no.
I have a hard time thinking that we see these yields through, you know, when it's all said and done, I do think we come in below where we're at.
Okay. Okay. Are you seeing anything in the basis market that has got you scratching your head?
This goes again, and I go back to, you know, when I merchandised out west, mm-hmm. and Chip, you knew where I was at. I spent a lot of years handling a lot of bushels up there.
Yep.
I never paid overs during gut slot harvest on corn.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that this year.
Right.
I don't think that's because the yield isn't there, Chip. These farmers moved a lot of old crop bushels right before harvest. They have no incentive to sell right now. And, you know, there's a lot of storing going on there, and there's more storage. I mean, the farmer is not looking at marketing new crop bushels right now. And, you know, the market's telling us, you know, with these, you know, starting to see this, you know, this bull spreading, the market's all of a sudden telling us, you know, today you look at corn, you know, we brought that carry back in just a penny.
Yeah.
But the market's starting to show between the spreads and the basis that we have a tight-fisted farmer out there.
Yeah.
And Chip, I'm going to go on a second here, but when you asked Matt, you know, about the commercial storage,
I was going to go there anyway. Okay,
I will never talk somebody out of storing a crop, no matter what. But my question is always this: then what? You pay storage, you put it in for 90 days. Then what? What are we going to do? What's our end result? What's your game plan? Don't just store it and ignore it. You know, and Chip, I've preached this for 30 years. Carry is only carry if you sell it.
Yep.
So let's look at this. Develop a game plan. If you want to pay commercial storage and you have a game plan where that's going to add revenue, let's do it. But let's have a game plan first.
Yep. Yep. There's still carry in the market, but doggone it, the bull spreads are taking that out of it.
So
if you're going to get it, you better get it.
Yeah. If you're going to, you got to make a decision right quick here. Are you going to carry it and sell the carry, or are you going to just wait and try to hope that bull spread gets you to where you can sell it on the nearby? And it's not that critical for most of these guys, but you know, when we start pushing up against that open store deadline, then it's going to become more of a factor.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. Great conversation there on the domestic supplies and the demand picture. Got to talk a little bit about the competitor, that's South America down there. And we've talked about it on the old crop and how much they've got for supplies. What do you make of the conversation on the new crop, the crop that's getting planted right now?
You know, we're still hearing a fair amount of stress being applied to that crop. You know, Brazil's picking up rains, but when we hear that, you got to stop and think. That's like in the Corn Belt here. You can say, well, the Corn Belt picked up rain. Well, where? And in Brazil, it's kind of the same thing. Last few reports I picked up are saying, yeah, the key production areas, you know, Mato Grosso, you know, they've picked up some decent rain. But they were sitting at a 30-year deficit on soil moisture, so just good rains aren't going to help. We need a lot more rain for Brazil to produce that crop. The other thing is, you know, that northern area up around that northern arc still hasn't picked up much rain. The areas of stress are still stress. Now they're going to plant the crop. They'll get their soybeans in Brazil. The thing is, you got to start looking at the calendar and say, what does this mean for the safrinha crop? And I think the market's starting to wake up there a little bit more. And then you got Argentina, and Argentina's like, hey, we're dry here. We keep losing moisture. They've stopped and started corn planting. And Chip, this is all without a La Nina really being in place that stresses those areas. So we took just a tad bit too much weather premium out of this market last week, I believe. South America, those crops are not out yet. Do they have the potential for huge crops? Absolutely they do. But you know, we start to see it scaling back like we do every year. I think we're chipping away at them already. And that's why a few more of these export sales are taking place here, you know, especially like China. They want their reserves built up.
Yep. Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Great conversation, Carl. You ready for Halloween? Everything all set up there at the house? Did you end up with a 10-foot skeleton in the front yard?
Not yet, but the day ain't over, Chip.
Oh, Carl, thank you so much, my friend. We will talk to you again soon.
Already looking forward to it.
Excellent. Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. Boy, we covered a lot of ground there in that conversation. It all comes down to, it's time to have a plan. Make sure that you know what you're going to do with stuff that you're putting in the bin.
Hey, this is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. When you start to think about planting roots and building your foundation for spring, fertilizing crops is like putting money in the bank. You put dollars or pounds in, but are your investments paying you interest? Or does it seem like you only get out what you put in, or even less? Soil health and living biology are the ticket to unlocking the next bushel. Farming for Biology takes a customized approach. Let my team help create your soil health strategy. Check out our website or give us a call today.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products. Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products and the answers that work.
A lot can happen in 25 years, especially in the swamps of Washington, D.C. When we first elected her, Tammy Baldwin focused on Wisconsin. But Baldwin changed. Today, she rakes in campaign cash from left-wing groups and does their bidding. Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men, making survivors of domestic violence sleep in the same building as men. She supported puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. Baldwin even voted to send stimulus checks to criminals in jail, including the Boston Marathon bomber. We thought we knew Tammy Baldwin, but she's changed. Now it's time for us to make a change. Replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about. But you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here along with your beloved host, Chip Flory. Good conversations there, Matt Bennett and Carl Setzer. Always good to talk with Carl.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and it was an interesting conversation, just to sort of, you know, as a fly on the wall here. This time of year, to have the supply side questions, I guess you might say, kind of back into the equation, into the discussion, maybe, is that better?
Right.
Let's not talk equation. Yeah. That sounds like math. But here we are talking supply side. You know, and I'm hearing words like monster crop. Well, it ain't as big as we thought, but we thought it was going to be pretty big. And not quite as big as pretty big is still awfully big, Chip.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's not like all of the sudden we are running short on corn or we are running short on soybeans. That's not the discussion. The discussion is, can we start, will the supply side help to whittle away at that 550 million bushel bean carryover projection? You know, that's just a weight on the market, a wet blanket over the market, however you want to describe it. It is not price positive. Then on corn, the question is, okay, now that we've got the carryover back to 2 billion bushels on 24-25, what if we would lose 100 million bushels from the crop estimate? What kind of, you know, what might that do to the price outlook? And it's the reason that I think that it's an important conversation to have is, number one, it's the timing. You made a great point. It seems like it's late in the game to be bringing yield uncertainty back into the conversation, but here we are. So now that it's here, how much of a factor could it be? And number two, what kind of an impact does it have on carryover projections going forward? Carl made a great point when we were talking about, you know, has the corn market really responded to the export demand? Has the corn market really responded to the, yeah, it's a record yield, but it's not as record as we thought it once was? Yeah, has the corn market responded to those things? And his comment was, well, it might be a little underpriced, but I don't want this market to take off yet and shut off the demand. It's a great point. Yeah, if we're in a situation where the supply is going to be big enough on both corn and soybeans that if we can figure out how to front load some demand in here, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. And if that means kind of a slow or delayed price reaction to the ideas that maybe the crop isn't as big as we thought it was, maybe the demand is better than we thought it was, if we end up with a bit of a delayed reaction to those thoughts, I don't think it would bother me one bit at all. And plus, let's not forget, it's October. Okay? There's a lot of guys out there that are looking at an indemnity payment on crop insurance and thinking, now wait a minute, let's not rally this market too much quite yet. We're figuring out what the fall price is going to be, and every day up is taking a penny or two off that indemnity payment. So we've got that to think about too. That is not me, by the way. That is not me saying, doggone it, I wish prices would go lower. I am not rooting or cheering or hoping or anything for lower prices. That's not what I'm doing. So put the phone down. Don't get away from the keyboard. No reason to hit me with the how dare you try to talk prices down. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm doing.
No. Yeah. Well, and you know, last I know, you have really very little control over what prices do from day to day.
Thank you.
Week to week. Just saying.
Thank you.
You're an important guy and everything, but yeah. Keep it in perspective.
Yeah. Please.
But let's talk about this because I'm hearing, okay, Kerry, bigger than we would like it to be, manageable, but let's, you know, rather than focusing on that, let's focus on stocks to use. Stocks to use will tell us what we need to know. Did I hear that right?
Absolutely. And you know, that is absolutely correct. In other words, what you know, stocks to use is pretty simple to figure out. It's just total stocks. No, excuse me, total use divided by total stocks gives you a stocks to use ratio, and it's a measure of how good demand is against the total supplies. And that's really what tells the story. When we run regression models and try to say, okay, we don't look at just the carryover and say that kind of a carryover should equal X on prices. No, you take the stocks to use ratio, run the regression models off of that, and that's where we can come up with a stocks to use ratio of 12% in corn in this kind of an environment should give us a price of $4.60. Whatever it is.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So yeah, it's what it's all about.
Just one other little piece of nugget here. We were talking about storage. Cause usually when the word storage comes up, you and me, we bristle.
Yeah.
Carl was saying, okay, if you're in that position, but here's what you got to do to manage it. You got to have a plan for, you know, after 60 days, 90 days, X amount of days, then what? Don't just leave it there. Don't just roll it over there. Or maybe if you're going to do that, plan for that. I thought it was an interesting take on storage.
It's very much. It's okay to store as long as you know what the plan is.
Right.
And don't just store it and ignore it. Figure it out, boys. Figure it out. And girls. All right. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, October 28th through November 1st. Above normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt with the greatest odds of above normal temperatures in the central and eastern Corn Belt. Above normal precipitation expected over most of the Corn Belt. The far east is the exception. 8 to 14 day, October 30th through November 5th. Above normal temperatures and above normal precipitation over the bulk of the Corn Belt. Senator Chuck Grassley in a farmer forum with Ken and Sherman tomorrow morning.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/pact to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Halloween's coming alive at Target. Jackie and Gordy, the jack-o'-lanterns here with a front porch view of Target's Halloween deals, like Best House on the Block trick-or-treat candy starting at $5.99.
Sweet. Don't forget, can't wait to wear it costumes from $15.
Can't wait to see it. Oh, and decorating and pumpkin carving kits for $5.
That's how I got my big toothy grin.
This week only, trick-or-treat candy starts at $5.99, costumes from $15.